Good morning, everybody. This is Henry von Hartmann, the Director of Investor Relations. On behalf of Nanoform, I would like to welcome you all to this conference call, and thank you for taking time with us this morning. As you know, this conference call is done through audio, and also slides can be seen through the link that you should have with the access code. If you are missing the link and the access code, you can also find slides on our webpage under Financial Reports and Presentations. We will do a presentation today initially, and it will be started by our founder and CEO and Professor Edward Hæggström, followed by our Chief Commercial Officer Christian Jones, and then we have from our CFO, Albert Hæggström, a presentation on the financials. Then we will do a Q&A session, and here also we have Gonzalo Andrade, our Chief of Business Operations, with us, along with the other managers to answer any potential questions you might have. If you would have any further inquiries after the call, you can find details to Albert, our CFO, and myself on the last slide on this deck. For those of you who would like to take duly noted notes, I would like to tell that this conference call will be recorded and there will be a playback on our webpage later on today. With these words, I would like to welcome our CEO, Edward Hæggström. Are you there?
I am here, Henry, and thank you for introduction and welcome. Good morning to everyone also on my behalf. I'm going to walk you through a recap of what we have achieved mainly since the IPO. And I start by stating that our momentum continues strong. My own focus has been shifting more towards clinics. And since IPOs, we have done new deals. We have gotten increased strength into our sales. We have been able to strengthen our board, and we have increased the numbers of our lines. On the first slide, I could say welcome again, and let's move to slide number two. What is Nanoform about? Nanoform is about addressing a big problem in the pharma industry, the fact that too few drugs come out each year. The reason for the low number is that many of the drugs that potentially could help patients are poorly taken up by the body. This is a problem which is recognized, it's a problem which is growing, and it's a problem that we address head-on. The technical term is bioavailability, how much of the drug substance is actually reaching the site where it does some good. On the next slide, you can see the reasons for the problem, and you can see that we are addressing the biggest reason for this low bioavailability, the biggest reason for why there are so small number of drugs being coming to the market each year. How do we do that? We do that using our proprietary tech platform called CESS. It's a platform that allows us to make drug particles smaller, and when the drug particles become smaller, they dissolve better into the bodily fluids. I move on to slide number four. Slide number four, you can see that when we can reduce the size of the particles, they are dissolved better and they are better taken up by the body. You can also see that this is a highly nonlinear relationship, which means that with normal technologies where you reach approximately 1,000 nanometers or a little below, you cannot really address this problem very effectively. You have to go down to low hundreds or even below that in order to have a big impact on the bioavailability. On the right-hand side on slide four, you can see we get API in. this API active pharmaceutical ingredient is owned by our partners and customers. We nanoform it and then we ship it back to our customers. On slide number 5, you see a whole cascade of good stuff coming out when you can make the particles smaller. So when you can make them smaller as we can increase their solubility. This leads to increased bioavailability. And since more is taken up the body, you can reduce the dose. When you reduce the dose, potentially you have fewer and lesser side effects. And when you reduce your dose, you don't have to produce so much API, which means that the production cost and the plant costs go down. Also, when you can have a better biological uptake, it means that less of the API is running through the body and coming, ending up in the sewers. And maybe also on the economic side, a very important thing coming out from the SET platform is that you can use it to add patent protection. You can extend existing patents and you can broaden their scope. From my own perspective, the most important thing is this enables potentially new drugs to come to the market in order to help patients. On the next slide, slide number 6, I would like to focus on the right-hand side of the slide. During 2020, we have done a lot of cool things, but what I'm especially proud of is the fact that we have gotten a lot of things done after the IPO. As you can see here, we have been able to strengthen our legal and commercial teams. We have been able to strengthen our board. We have been able to strengthen our capacity to produce. And maybe most importantly, we have been able to sign new deals, despite the fact that Corona goes on, despite the fact that we have been preoccupied with serving the existing clients. This shows that we have both width and depth into our operations, something which I'm very happy about. On the next slide, slide number 7, you can see that we were present at the NASDAQ Tower, and this is a picture that I have actually put as a frame on the office to remind people that we are not working in Helsinki. We are also present in the US, where the big markets are. On slide number 8, it is my great pleasure to introduce to you Cynthia Schwalm. She is a clinical nurse, critical care oncology by training. I wanted a board member who brings the voice of the patient, because in the end of the day, everything we do in the company, be it big or be it small, should be such that ultimately some patients become happier and maybe healthier. Cynthia told me during the interviews, Edward, I want to talk with the voice of the patient, and when I come on the ward, you will hear my voice. And I said, ma'am, that's really what I like. As you can see here, yet another Harvard affiliate, I want to go for quality where I can. So she has worked as a nurse. She has worked in big positions across many of our continents. I'm very happy to have her stepping up onto the board next week when there is an EGM to be convened. On slide number 9, you can see that we are continuing to execute. We have achieved the first two goals of a certificate for GMP production. We have achieved our commercial goals of having 4 new customers. We are on track towards the first GMP project, and for me, most importantly, we are on track for clinical trials. With this, I hand over to Henry. Thank you.
Thank you, Edward. Christian Jones, our Chief Commercial Officer, are taking the next slides. Are you there, Christian?
I'm here. Thank you, Henry.
Go ahead.
Good morning. Good morning to you all. A pleasure to talk to you today and to give you an update on our commercial traction and momentum that we've established this year. So on this slide, you will see our current client portfolio. We have 7 clients here. 3 were established in last year, and 4 that we have landed this year by July period. So one of our major goals as a business was to establish more client projects than we had established in the previous year. And so by July, we had completed that objective, and we continue to develop more relationships with other clients and build a very strong sales pipeline for the organization. Our focus is still on global large pharma because they are financially stable organizations. They have a broad pipeline of APIs in development where our technology can be applied to. But we're also very keen to support mid-size, specialty, and biotech companies, where a lot of the drug discovery is now being done. And, you know, some of these companies are also more agile, so it's important to have a good mix of clients within our portfolio. Why do we want to work with clients, major pharma and small biotechs? It's because we want to enable new products. We want to help support them in developing their products. We want to help overcome some of the solubility and bioavailability challenges that they face every day on their products, where close to 70 to 90% of those molecules have issues. And we want to help them broaden and deepen their pipelines. I think I was probably most delighted with signing our first customer on the West Coast recently. You know, we are stretching ourselves across all parts of the globe. And, you know, we have established a significant amount of traction pre the coronavirus situation. And that momentum has continued and been sustained in the last 6 months. We still engage with partners, even though travel restrictions are putting pressure on everybody globally. But we still engage, and we are still engaged in new inquiries into our business. So we are seeing a lot of interest, proactive and reactive, to our technology. So I'm delighted that that continues in the same momentum that we have already established. Henry, if we could go to the next slide, please. So to further support that momentum that we have established, on the 1st of September, Tuesday of next week, Sergi Letzer and Eric Peter will be joining our organization. They are experienced business development professionals. Sergi, I personally know. I've worked with him at Johnson Matthey. He was one of the best salespeople I've ever met, has a fantastic network, with, particularly within the biotech space in the U.S. markets, for API development and manufacturing in both non-GMP and GMP clinical and commercial. Eric is also a very well-known and respected business development professional. Eric has more than 25 years experience in the pharma industry, 10 of those focused on solving solubility and bioavailability problems. He has a fantastic network, again, within the U.S. markets with major pharma, mid-sized pharma and small biotechs, working right across the board from clinical through to commercial manufacturing, and with particular experience in particle engineering. In his last position, he was at Hovione and was one of the major business development team members driving sales for them, and he wants to bring that knowledge, that experience, and that network to Nanoform with this exciting technology to help propel that into the US market. So I think we're having Sergi, Eric, myself, and Gonzalo, we have a very strong wolf pack to go hunting for new deals, and we're very excited about the opportunities that this new commercial team will bring going forward. If we can go to the next slide, please, Henry. So this is, in a nutshell, our commercial team. I myself have been with the business since October 2018, and Gonzalo, January 2019. And, you know, we've established a strong sales pipeline. We've established the brand within the marketplace. We've brought on board top-notch organizations in terms of marketing communications, such as Notch, based in Manchester, UK, and Cord, based in Sweden, to support our messaging, to support our communication, to the pharma industry, to the financial press. And further to that, we've rebranded our organization. And going forward, you know, COVID has been a trying time for everybody in business development, but we plan to do more digital marketing to further propel our message externally. Thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you, Christian. Okay, let's move over to financials, and we will start with a short recap on the business model. Our CFO, Albert Hedström. Are you there?
Thank you, Henry. Hi, everybody. Good morning. I will start shortly, go through the business model, and then we will go to the Q2 numbers. So here on slide 13, you can see our revenue model. And as you know, on the pre-GMP or non-GMP side, the sort of there are two kinds of projects. At the moment, we are working with proof of concept. And then after that, we expect to move to proof of process for some of them. And in this area, the fee of these projects are between 50 and 500,000 euros per project. And the project can take roughly between 3 to 6 months. The investment in a line on this side is not that big. It's 200 to 400,000 euro for a line, meaning that the payback on these lines are very short, considering the value of the project. We have at the moment, as you saw, we increased the number of non-GMP lines by 1 to 7 from 6. And the time it takes to build another line is roughly between 4 to 6 months. Then when you go into the GMP, where Edward said that his focus has now, since the IPO, clearly shifted towards us going to the next step, meaning into the GMP, the clinical world. And there everything basically becomes 10 times more valuable. So the fee project, the value of the fee of the project can be between $500,000 and 10 million. At the lower end, if it's a small, easy phase one, and if it's a difficult, large phase three, you can go up to the higher end of the range. Here it takes quite more time, much more time to build a line. So it's up to 2 years to build a new GMP line. We have one GMP line at the moment, and we are planning to expand that number in the coming years with the proceeds we got from the IPO. And then finally, our big potential and upside, of course, comes from when we get drugs onto the market. And there we are, the fees are based on royalty or as a supply price per kilo. We have a very broad range for the royalty here, but of course, as time goes by, we will see where it sort of narrows down. This depends very much on the API and the situation in the market, but we feel very comfortable that we will get good deals, even though our ambition is not to be greedy. So it's very important from a strategical point of view that we don't try to maximize the value of one single deal. We should maximize the total potential. We should get a reputation for not being too pricey or too greedy. We want to work with many, many companies on many, many APIs. If you go to the next slide, please. Here you can see the revenue drivers and the industry attrition rates. So as we have told you before, when we take in a new API and try to nanoform it, making small nanoparticles, we have said that in the beginning we had a hit rate, we were dreaming of a hit ratio of 10%, and in the last year we have roughly had 80% hit ratio. So we have said that we don't know, because the sample is still quite small. We have only tried roughly 1% of the APIs out there. So therefore, we say that the final number will probably end up somewhere between 10 and 80 when it comes to success of nanoforming APIs. We still don't have enough numbers to say that what will be the final outcome of the different stages, what is the probability of us getting from preclinical to phase one and phase one to phase two, or in a 505b2 going from a phase 2b to the market. But in the coming years, we will know, and therefore we have guided for these numbers. So we use the industry numbers as we know them. And there, of course, you remember that if we work with 505b2 type of APIs, then the probabilities are, of course, higher. than if we work with totally new molecular entities. Then another thing that will impact the sort of the short term from quarter to quarter numbers, it's of course what is the time lag between when we go from or what is happening. But on a big scale, we use the industry numbers as guidance. Can we go to the next, please? And then finally, you remember our business targets for 2025. We want to get in more than 50 new APIs every year. We expect to have a gross margin above 90%. At that time, we should have 25 lines at least, of which 5 to 10 are GMP compliant. Today, we have 7 non-GMP and 1 GMP. We expect to have roughly 200 employees, and by 2025, we expect to be cash flow positive. Next, please. And then we go to the numbers. The numbers are a little bit small here, but as you can see, so if we start on the table to the right, what you saw is that last year we won or started 2 new projects in the fourth quarter. Then we started 4 projects in the first quarter, and at that time we had 6 lines. So now in the second quarter we have added another line. So now we have 7 lines, and now we're starting another project in the second quarter. Of course, then you can calculate that 7 lines equals 7 projects. What you have also seen is that we have not told you that we have added a new client, the U.S. West Coast Biotech, meaning, and that happened in July, so that was in the third quarter. And there, of course, then you ask that, so how can you do another one if you are already at 7? Then the answer is that we have actually closed the first project we started, so there we have, in the second quarter, the material was shipped to the client, and we had the sort of the wrap-up of that API, and now we are waiting for in the coming months we will get the first result or the feedback from the client. And there we are, of course, very happy that we are now entering, in that sense, also the next phase of our journey, that we now start to get real feedback from when clients then test the material we have sent to them in their in vitro and in vivo models. And there, of course, we want to get much feedback and results of all kinds of sorts based on the project. If we look on the left-hand side, then on the P&L, you see that in the first quarter we had 150,000 in revenue, and now it increased sequentially 28% to 191 in the second quarter. Our gross margin also increased, so it went up from 69% in the first quarter to 83% in the second quarter. So we are on our way to going to the long-term target we have for 2025 of getting more than 90% gross margin. And the reason is, of course, that as we use mainly basically the CO2, we will have very, very high gross margins. If you look on lower than, so we had a loss for the period of operating loss of 6.6 million, including in that is 3.1 million from the IPO related costs. And there, when you then read the quarterly report, you will see more details on those numbers. And finally, at the end of the second quarter, we had 75.2 million in cash and cash equivalents. Some of the costs related to the IPO will be coming in the third quarter. All the bills weren't paid in the second, so there will be somewhat of an overhang to the third quarter from the IPO. All in all, we had 55 employees at the end of the second quarter, up from 50 at the first quarter and 43 at year end. Next, please. Some of these are already mentioned, but if you go to the other operating expensing line, there you can see that one thing that really stood out in the second quarter is, of course, that travel expenses came in at 8,000, and this is of course not something we anybody is happy about, because it's of course of due to the corona, so we nobody has been able to travel. But as Christian said, we have been able to have very high momentum and traction digitally at very low cost. Here you can also see that the consultant and professional services, they were impacted by the IPO, so they will not be as high in the coming quarters. On the IT expenses, you see that IT is something that is, has increased, and we believe that as we become bigger and as we move forward, IT will become, because IT is a very important part of the GMP world. And then finally, when you look at depreciations, so what we did was that we started also to depreciate the GMP line after being sort of not depreciated before we got the license. But as we got the license, end of April, we started to depreciate also the GMP line. The non-GMP lines we depreciate when they are commissioned. Next line. Next slide, please. That was the final one. Now we can move over to Q&A.
Yes, thank you, Albert. Operator Adam, if you are there, and if you could help us with the Q&A structure, and then if we, Albert and Elbert, do like before, if you take the first touch and then you relay to others when needed.
Of course, no worries. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register a question, you may do so by pressing star followed by one on your telephone keypads now. Or if you're joining us via the web today, it is the request to speak flag icon. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure that your line is unmuted locally. And if you do change your mind at any time, it is star followed by two. It looks like we have our first question. This question comes from Lars Henvreg of Danske Bank. If you'd like to go ahead with your question, please, Lars.
Yes, thank you. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, great, thanks. Can I just ask, I mean, it's early days. You've been a public company for just 3 months, but could you share a bit about your early experiences in terms of the client discussions, the number of leads you may and companies you may discuss with? Has this in any way changed your potential, you know, scope of collaborations, or is it too early to say, or can you share anything about that?
Christian, would you like to take that?
Yeah, may I ask, Lars, whether you're referring to, now that we are a public listed company, whether it has changed the interactions we've had? Is that the question?
Yes, that's the question.
I think it has further supported the messaging that we have been delivering to the pharma industry. I think that people have, they were interested beforehand. They continue to be interested in the technology. And now that we are a public listed company, I think that they realize that we are serious about our future. We're not an organization that just wants to develop a technology and have a quick exit. We're here for the long term. And I think that's certainly been a positive message to the industry. And certainly we've had the existing client base that we have been talking to have been very supportive, the fact that we have gone public. And I think it is something which has impressed the potential client base that we're talking to about our position and our long-term foresight to be supporting them as a partner. So I think it's difficult to say what impact individual activities have on business, particularly when, you know, you have a turbulent time like the COVID situation has presented. But I think it has been a positive force for us, if that answers your question.
Lars, can I give you an additional viewpoint? It is absolutely clear that the number of applicants of high caliber to our open positions has increased a lot. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Can I just also ask about the, I mean, since Sergi and Eric Peter is on the board, or in the sales organization, can I ask about the regional scope and the targets about the organization? Are you considering the Asian market and the number of companies, particularly in Japan and South Korea and in that region? Should we expect to continue to see a broadening of that organization? That's one thing. And also, if you could share something about the latest client signing, you say a West Coast US biotech client. Should we assume that that's a fairly significant revenue generating company today, or is it more of a product development early stage company? If you could share anything about that.
So if I briefly mentioned on the broadening of our scope, we want to go where the action is, and it's clear that the action is first in Europe, then in the US. We are not blind for Asia, but whereas we want to move fast, we also want to move in a deliberate way. And Christian can, from a commercial perspective, also add to this, please. Then when you ask about the new client, we are very happy about our new client from the West Coast. And maybe Christian can also share something about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Edward. So I think, you know, the nature of most organizations now, even if they are Asian in origin, a lot of those Asian organizations are actually global in nature as well and have sites in the US predominantly and also in Europe. We have had interaction. We've had proactive engagement from Asia, from companies in the countries that you've mentioned. And we continue to have engagement and see Asia as an important market going forward. I previously had responsibility for Asia Pacific, and there are some excellent companies there that we will hopefully engage with going forward. So Asia is part of our strategy as we grow our commercial organization. It's not right now for expanding the sales team, but it will be something that we will look at going forward in fairly short time frame. Now, with respect to the West Coast biotech, I can't give details as to their identity or to their size, but they are a very exciting company for Nanoform to be engaged with. And I think that they represent companies that we want to be partnered with in terms of their potential going forward.
Okay, thank you. And just a final from my side. In terms of the clients you announced in 2019, a US major pharma, AstraZeneca, and a UK biotech client, is that do you think we will hear any updates on the progress of? I guess that's also in the numbers in terms of early stage projects. But do you think we will hear some announcement about the progress related to these collaborations?
So this is Edward. We absolutely will inform you as soon as we are able to do so. And as you well know, there is an intricate game going on. But as soon as we may, we will.
Okay, thank you.
We have another question on the line. This one is from Max Herrmann of Stifel. If you would like to go ahead with your question, please, Max.
Thanks for taking my questions. It's Max Herrmann from Stifel. I've got a few questions, if I may. Firstly, congrats on signing another partner and achieving a key target for this year. First question is really on the partnership that you said that you've returned to API to the partner. Be interested to know whether that's post the proof of process now, or is that past proof of concept that you have handed the material over to the partner or returned the material to the partner. So that's the first question. Second, just to get a bit more clarity on your expansion plans. Now you've obviously completed the IPO with the proceeds. I know a significant amount of that was going to go into CapEx. I wondered whether you can give us a guide to the CapEx for this year expected now. And then finally, the partner that you have just signed in the West Coast, is that for one API, or are you able to say if there's multiple APIs there? Thank you.
It's Albert here. If I take the two first, and then me or Christian can also comment on the third one. So first of all, as I said, that my comment was that because when you have a line, you can do only one API per line at the time. And therefore, we need more non-GMP lines to take on more APIs. And but from a sort of a, when I said that we have actually shipped the material for the first one already to a client, and that's, of course, a positive thing. And this means also that this will happen in the coming quarters as well. And there we will get real feedback from the clients, and together we will then see at what speed and at what kind of decisions are made. And but from your question, we have, as we have said in the report, so far we have done proof of concept studies, and then we will inform you when we move to proof of process or GMP projects. So all the revenue is from proof of concept studies. Then when it comes to the CapEx, so we have the non-GMP side, we are expanding as fast as we can. And on the GMP side, where the CapEx is clearly much higher, so to remind you that building a new GMP line is between 2 and 12 million, depending on the on what kind of GMP line it is. There we have initiated the project already of adding more GMP lines in going forward. And there the CapEx from those are, from a cash flow, is you pay some of it upfront when you order, and then you pay according to when the SAT or FAT, the different stages are met, and then they are delivered to us. But then from an accounting point of view, as I said previously, you start to depreciate them when they are approved by FIMEA. But on the CapEx side, I think that that's what I said. But the CapEx will go up in the coming quarters and coming years. Then finally, on the how many APIs we do with specific customers, I would say that we don't give numbers on that. So as we have said before, when we sign up a client, it can be one or several. And as long as we only have X amount of lines, we cannot do more than X amount of POCs.
Thanks. So I just have a follow-up question on the plans for starting the GMP run before the end of this year, and obviously human studies next year. Clearly, there's a potential for that to be a third-party program or your internal program. Is that still the case? Are you still got the prospect of that being a third party?
I can start, and then Edward can continue, because this is Edward's favorite topic. So what we have said previously is that we don't do either or, we do both. So we work on both fronts. We both work, so because we don't want to wait for anything. So as you remember from the prospectus, we have our own project, but we're also talking to clients. And then we will inform you when we can inform you more. Do you want to add something, Edward?
No, not necessarily, but I want to reemphasize the fact that this is something I spend a lot of my time on now, because it's the next big jump that we want to take, and it will take us closer to the patients. So the question is very relevant, and we're happy to sort of provide you with info as soon as we can. But right now, suffice it to say that it's on track. And next week, I'm going to have a first sort of formal review internally where I get numbers for where we stand on the many different things that needs to be in place. Thank you.
Great. Thanks very much, guys.
We have another question on the line. This one is from Christopher Udhe from SEB. If you'd like to go ahead, please.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for taking my questions, and congratulations on the new customers and new project. So I was wondering if you can give a little bit more clarity on how the proof of concept studies proceed right now at this stage. So obviously it's taking, I think, you know, the long-term guide was it would be about 3 months on average, and it's obviously initially taking a little longer, I guess, because you're establishing relationships with clients and so on. But can you talk about what kinds of factors are involved there? And then also, I mean, does this involve, let's say, a clock stop of some sort where you, because you previously said that your definition of success or failure at nanoforming is within 3 months. So that's my first question.
Okay.
Hi, Christopher. If I start, and then Edward and Christian, you can add on if you want. So when we have said the as you said, 2 to 3 months for a proof of concept, that's our work. And as you said in the beginning, when it might be a little bit longer, depending on the API. Some of the it can be faster, and some of them can be slower. But that is sort of our manufacturing, or let's say engineering work. Then before you start the project, you have, you know, all this EHS stuff safety procedures. And then after we have done the engineering, then you ship to the client, and then the client start to test it in their sort of facilities. And there, I think that Christian can comment a little bit, but it's clear that some of the capacity in the pharma industry when it comes to their laboratories have been impacted by the COVID. So I assume that, or we assume that the feedback loop might be a little bit slower than if there were no corona when they test our material. But it's also that because it's new material, because it's nanomaterial, it's not, you know, something they have done hundreds of times before. So everything is a little bit slower in the beginning.
Yeah, and I would like to add to this that Albert's structuring of the answer is very good. So there are three parts to the feedback loop. One is the commercial feedback loop, which has to do with Christian getting the contract in place, and which has to do then with business operations sort of guiding the contracts forward after the engineering has done what it needs to do. And then the mid part is the engineering part, which we can sort of to 100% have control over. And it's very, very nice that we did with Gonzalo with CBO a analysis of our proficiency and performance. And the fact is that we are actually getting faster now into Corona, both in absolute measures and in relative measures compared to others. So whereas it's clear that other our partners have been to some degree maybe affected by the corona, it is also clear to me that from an operational excellence point of view, we are improving also on that dimension. Christian, Gonzalo, would you like to add to this?
Maybe Gonzalo, if you have some comments.
Yeah, thanks, Edward. Thanks, Christian. It has indeed been an improvement focus of ours in terms of how we support our business partners and how we can deliver value to them. Clearly, each molecule is a molecule, but it's its own specific and unique case. But we are indeed getting better at performing our CESS and nanoformation. And as a proof of that, we are able to now handle 7 projects in parallel, whereas earlier we would not.
Okay, great. Thanks. That's really helpful. And then my next question is, so when you commission a new line, what is the time lag between when it's commissioned and your actual ability to start a new project on it?
So this is a very sort of detailed technical questions. Gonzalo, I know you have data on this one, but is it fair to say that that is also a metric that we have gotten faster at, and right now we have a high probability of having the first commissioning run successful, and we also have a fairly short time lag between when the line is commissioned and when we are ready to take on the first commercial API?
That is entirely correct. So before Christian and I joined, as you may have appreciated, we had a fairly low number of lines, and it took us a significant amount of time to put the line together and get it to run. At the moment, we are from installing and getting the line in and being able to assembling it and being able to start the first run is within a month. That after the line is assembled, we do the tests, we do the site acceptance test for the equipment that we have, and then we can run within a month any product that comes to the into that particular line. So that's the moment. The bottleneck is, as you know, some of the APIs that we handle are potent molecules, and for potent molecules, we need to handle them inside an isolator, and isolators typically have a lead time of 3 to 4 months, and that is a limitation. It's the building of the equipment.
Okay, great. And then just a sort of housekeeping question. How much of the IPO costs remain to be booked? I might have missed you if you said that already. And then the very last question is if you could maybe give a bit more nature, a bit more color into the nature of the contracts. I mean, with the new customers that have been added, should we be expecting, sort of broadly exploratory, or do they have are we talking about a specific, question they have to ask about, some particular API, or anything you can say about that?
So Albert can answer the financial question, but I give you a first answer on the second question of yours. It is my understanding, and Christian and Gonzalo, correct me if I'm wrong, that we still see amongst the prospective customers and clients, both people who want to sort of get a feeling for how the technology more broadly could help them, but we also already now have people who have very distinct problems, some of which are urgent.
I would agree to everything you just said, Edward. It's a real mix. We have problems that customers have, and they really need a solution. And we have opportunities that customers see with our technology where they want to explore it for the future.
And then on the IPO related costs. So as I said, in the second quarter, in the P&L, we booked 3.1 million. And for your info, so then that means that in the first quarter it was 1.6 million booked on the IPO-related costs. So there you can get a good feeling for what the underlying cost structure was when you look at the P&L.
Okay, thanks very much. That's all my questions.
We currently have no further questions. However, I would like to remind participants on the line, if you would like to ask a question, it will start followed by 1 on your telephone keypad or the request to speak flag icon via the web. We have a follow-up question from Lars Hevreng from Danske Bank. If you'd like to go ahead, please, Lars.
Yes, thanks. Just coming back to the signing of clients. Now, since you have signed three clients in 2019 and another four in 2020. How would you characterize, I mean, just so we can have a sense of the near midterm intake of new clients, how would you characterize the number of leads, discussions, etc., interest today relative to, say, a year ago? How would you describe that?
Christian, please.
So I think a year ago, we were still establishing our name. We were trying to introduce ourselves as a company to the marketplace. There was a lot of educational aspects to introducing our technology to our partners, to our customers. Many people haven't heard about Nanoform. Today, I think our brand is more established in the marketplace. People have heard about us. Certainly, most of our competitors know who we are. And I would say a good proportion of the market is aware of Nanoform. So I think previously we've probably had a lot of meetings in the first 12 months, and we had, you know, some conversion into projects. I would say we're probably having less meetings now, probably as a result of coronavirus, but more conversion into projects. Because of, you know, we are better known to the marketplace. And we're also seeing more proactive approaches to Nanoform, which is very positive to see. And that's ultimately what any commercial organisation wants, is to sort of turn the, you know, us being proactive to the customer being proactive, so that we can ultimately be reactive and have a full sales pipeline and you know, manage our capacity and resources as best we can and prioritize the projects as best we can.
And if I may comment as a CFO, so we have had the pleasure of having two fantastic guys in Cristian and Gonzalo doing a tremendous job in the last year. Now we are doubling that size, meaning it's a sizable investment for us to double the amount of BD people, and especially having two in the US. So, of course, we want to have the situation that 2 plus 2 will be more than 4, because that's also productivity and you know, networking and so forth. So from that point of view, I think that we will see the impact on that also in the coming year.
Okay, thank you.
We currently have no further questions.
Okay, Adam, that's good. I can say a few concluding remarks, if that's okay.
Yeah, good. Of course.
Excellent. Thank you to the operator. If anybody would have any further inquiries, you can find Albrandt's and my details on the last page there. This is Henry talking right now. Thank you to you, Nanoform managers, for presenting. Thank you to you all investors and analysts for calling in. And big thank you also to our IPO banks who have invited all the investors to this call. We wish you a very good Friday and happy weekend.